As you can see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the appearance of the son of perdition coincides with a falling away, which is apostasia in the Greek, which will happen before the return of the true Christ, which is when the day of Christ will begin, which is the 1,000 years written of in Revelation chapter 20. So in other words, the true Christ won't return at all until an apostasia occurs and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This word perdition is number 684. In the Greek dictionary of the Strong's Concordance, and it means loss, physical, spiritual, or eternal damnation, which is in this case eternal destruction, which is what it is to perish. And the only individual sentenced to perish is Satan himself, as you can see in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, where God says to Satan that he will be brought to ashes and never shall he be any more, blotted out of existence forever and ever. Satan's fallen angels are damned also, but they were sentenced to perish as a group when they left their first habitation. So then again, Satan is the only one sentenced to perish as an individual, and it'll happen 1,000 years after the destruction of his fallen angels when the true Christ returns at the woe of the seventh trumpet, when Satan himself gets cast into the bottomless pit. And that's why in Revelation chapter 17 verse 8, the beast, which in Revelation 17 means Satan in general, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, which is what happens after the 1,000 years are finished, as you can see in Revelation chapter 20. Satan will go into the lake of fire along with all who choose to follow him at that time, being turned to ashes, and never shall he be any more, blotted out of time even, and it'll be as though he never existed, having received the death sentence because of his first rebellion in the first world age, when he said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven and will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation. I will be like the Most High," as you can see in Isaiah chapter 14, followed by God's response, which is, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit," meaning the bottomless pit, "during the 1,000 years, and they that see thee during the millennium shall narrowly look upon thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" So as you can see here, Satan, who is called also Lucifer, is called here a man. So then the man of sin and the man written of in the last verse of Revelation 13 are one and the same. Not a human, but rather Satan himself, who will appear in Jerusalem at 666 as the false Christ, his role of Antichrist being what gets destroyed at the seventh trumpet along with this fallen angel locust army, which is when Satan himself gets cast into the bottomless pit until the 1,000 years are finished. And then he'll go into perdition, which again is number 684 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means to perish. So going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Paul being one of the Zadok, who are the only ones allowed to approach Christ until after the 1,000 years are finished, as you can see in Ezekiel chapter 44, "that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, the day of the Lord, which is the 1,000-year-long great tribulation that begins at the woe of the seventh trumpet, immediately after the 5-month-long hour of temptation. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first," that's apostasia, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." The apostasia and Satan's appearance as the Antichrist both happen at the same fixed point in time, which is the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, which is in the midst of Daniel's 70th week, which was 7 years, but is now 5 months. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped," as we also saw back in Isaiah chapter 14, and as you can also see in Daniel chapter 11, verses 31 through 39, and that's explained in greater detail in the Daniel 11 hypothesis on biblicalresearchlabs.com. "So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the temple of God being the many-membered body, but they'll cease to be Christians when they worship Satan instead of Christ," which is what Antichrist means. All but those of the 7,000 Zadok initially, or 232 of that number possibly, who will refuse to bow a knee to Baal, which is Satan, being then delivered up, at which time the Holy Spirit will speak through them in a language understood by whoever hears it, bringing many out of the confusion, which is what Babylon means, and back into God's family tree. "Remember ye not that when I was was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And as you can see pointed out in the Companion Bible, letteth here means holds fast, and if the subject be Satan, the object must be his position in the heavenlies, from which he will be ejected by Michael, as you can see in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. That happens at the woe of the fifth trumpet at the beginning of the five-month-long hour of temptation, when the one-world political system of Revelation 13 emerges, which is the same thing as the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. And then after the one-world political system gets wounded to death, as you can also see in Revelation 13, shall that wicked be revealed, the lawless one, meaning Satan in his role of Antichrist, which is the little horn of Daniel's fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7, which is exclusively supernatural, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming at the woe of the seventh trumpet, destroying Satan's role of Antichrist as well as his fallen angels. Daniel's fourth beast, in other words, as you can also see in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, the false prophet being another name for Satan's role of Antichrist, which means instead of Christ, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, because he is Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, as you can also read of in Revelation 13, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, which is number 622 in the Greek, not 684, because many who will take part in the apostasia will then repent during the sixth trumpet once they hear what the Holy Spirit will say through those who get delivered up, and upon repentance they'll be then able to take part in the first resurrection, and many others will take part in the second resurrection after having believed upon the true Christ during the 1,000 years enough to absorb his teachings of discipline through the millennial priesthood, whereby they're able to then stand against Satan when he's released from the bottomless pit, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, going back to what happens during 666. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And again, going back to the first world age, it only stands to reason that the third who were deceived into following Satan then, or who will be on the earth during the hour of temptation as well as the millennium, with the exception of the Zadok who stood against Satan at that time. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, from God's word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And as the distractions come at us from all sides, thanks to the four hidden dynasties, it becomes more and more important to stay focused on what our Father would have us know through this word, whereby we can continue to plant seeds of truth while there's still time. Many don't even realize who the son of perdition is, even having been deceived into believing they'll be raptured away before the Antichrist appears, set up for the spiritual kill at 666, but because of the seed of the seal of God having been planted in their minds before the fact, when the Holy Spirit speaks through those who get delivered up during the sixth trumpet, those seeds will spring forth within the minds they were planted within during this grace period of the fifth trumpet we're now in. As you can see in the study on Joel chapter 2 on BibleStudyArchives.com, beginning with verse 1, God says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain." The Christian nation, being made up of the citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, called Mount Zion in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble." That word translated as land is eretz in the Hebrew, which in this case means the whole earth. for the day of the Lord cometh that is nigh at hand, the thousand-year-long great tribulation that begins when the true Christ returns at the seventh trumpet, which is the third and final woe trumpet. At the time of this recording, we're still in the grace period of the fifth trumpet that ends with the woe of the fifth trumpet when Satan and his angels get cast to earth. The fifth trumpet began to sound in 1969, and remember, John saw an eagle, not an angel, but an eagle, as you can see in Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The first four trumpets being the globalization of the four hidden dynasties that began to sound from 1830 to 1948, in my opinion. And then in 1969, the fifth trumpet began to sound, five being grace in biblical numerics, and again, this grace period of the fifth trumpet we're now in will be ended when Satan and his fallen angel locust army get cast to earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet, which is when the one world political system written of in Revelation 13 emerges, having 10 horns, which are 10 fallen angel kings. Daniel's fourth beast that you can read of in Daniel chapter 7 is exclusively supernatural, and it's made up of Satan's angels as well as the little horn, which is Satan's role of Antichrist, when he appears in Jerusalem at the woe of the sixth trumpet after the gnawer, swarmer, and devourer stages of his locust army that will transpire during the woe of the fifth trumpet. The true Christ won't return until the woe of the seventh trumpet when the day of the Lord begins. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. The day of the Lord that begins immediately after Daniel's 70th week, which was 7 years, but has been shortened to 5 months, that begin when Satan and his fallen angel locust army are cast to earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet. A great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like, because it's a supernatural army of deception, also written of in Revelation chapter 9, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations, because these 7,000 fallen angels will be destroyed in an earthquake just before the seventh angel sounds, as you can see in Revelation 11:13. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. Looking forward to the consumer stage that begins at 666, and the fire, smoke, and brimstone, which is symbolic of the deception that will issue out of their mouths that will kill most Christians spiritually. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them, except for those of the Zadok who have the seal of God in their forehead throughout the entirety of the hour of temptation. And whenever they're delivered up to death, so to speak, which is one of Satan's names, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them, the 144,000 who had the seed of the seal of God placed within their foreheads during the grace period of the fifth trumpet will then be brought out of the confusion, which is what Babylon means, and grafted back into God's family tree, along with whosoever will repent before the seventh angel sounds. The Garden of Eden is where Satan impregnated Eve with Cain, and at 666, he will impregnate most Christians, spiritually speaking, in their foreheads with the deception that he's Jesus' return, which is why Christ warns against being with child upon his return in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. Not literally pregnant, but having the mark of the beast in their forehead, having become the whore of Babylon, as opposed to the virgin bride that waits for the true husband to return. But again, many will come out of the deception and repent because of what the Holy Spirit will say through those who get delivered up during that time. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. And as we know from Revelation 9:16, which is during 666, when the consumer stage begins, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. But there's only 7,000 fallen angels, as we know from Revelation 11:13, so this 200,000 John saw were the images of those 7,000 being transmitted throughout the globe on all the TVs, smartphones, and computers. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, meaning the flying vehicles they travel in, mentioned also in Revelation chapter 9, verse 9, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. And remember, this is an army of deception, and the deception that issues out of their mouths during 666 is in Revelation chapter 9, symbolized by the fire and smoke and brimstone, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. This means all faces will grow pale with terror, having never before seen supernatural entities upon the earth before. These fallen angels may even present themselves as aliens at the woe of the fifth trumpet when they arrive in their flying vehicles, which may very well be why the one world political system comes together so quickly at that time. Problem, reaction, solution. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. But remember, they don't kill people physically, as you can see in Revelation chapter 9 verse 5, but only spiritually with deception at 666 when they go into the consumer stage. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, because this army will strictly follow the orders of their king that you can read of in Revelation chapter 9 verse 11, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, both meaning the destroyer, aka Satan, whose image will also be transmitted throughout the world at 666, as you can see in Revelation chapter 13 verses 11 through 18, the image of the beast being an image of Satan transmitted throughout the globe. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded, because they're supernatural. They're not human beings, but rather Satan's fallen angels, who are part of Daniel's exclusively supernatural fourth beast you can read of in Daniel chapter 7. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief through the screens of all the smartphones, computers, and televisions, which will cause them to appear to be 200,000,000 when there are only 7,000 of these so-called locusts. And notice in Revelation chapter 9 verse 17 in the Greek, the first time you see that word fire, it's a different word than the one used later in the same verse, and it means of fire, and the root word it comes from means fire, literally or figuratively, especially lightning. Lightning being in this case electricity, with jacinth meaning deep blue, as in the blue light that emanates from the smartphones, TVs, and computer screens, with brimstone meaning sulfur-like, not sulfur but like sulfur, and a key ingredient to the modern day technology is obviously the silicon, which is separated from sulfur on the periodic table of the elements by just one other element. So put it all together and you've got electricity, which is of fire, because lightning is electricity, blue light, and silicon, the ingredients of the TV, smartphones, and computer screens the images of Satan's fallen angel locust army will appear on beginning at 666, along with the image of Satan himself at the woe of the sixth trumpet, beginning the 2.5 months or 70 evenings, the 70 years in captivity to the Babylon of old, where type of, because Satan is the king of Babylon of the end times. The earth shall quake before them, looking forward to the earthquake that destroys Satan's fallen angel locust army that you can read of in Revelation 11:13, just before the woe of the seventh trumpet. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, because of the return of the true Christ, when the brightness of his coming outshines the light of the sun, moon, and stars, as you also see in Isaiah chapter 13. Verses 9 and 10, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, the armies which were in heaven that return at the woe of the seventh trumpet with the true Christ, you can read of in Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 through 16. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? The day of the Lord being the 1,000-year-long great tribulation that begins when the true Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As you can see in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12, Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother, afterward becoming the father of the Kenites, which means the sons of Cain, as you can see in Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, a separate genealogy from Adam's because Cain was the son of the serpent who was and is Satan himself and not the son of Adam, and the Kenites are the natural branches of Satan's family tree. Their four hidden dynasties even being symbolized by the last four members of Cain's genealogy, Jabal, Jubal, Tubal-Cain, and Naamah, and we know the Kenites survived the flood of Noah from Genesis chapter 15 in the 19th verse, with the Hivites being, in my opinion, a cross between the Kenites and the Canaanites, and as much as it's the Hivites we see cursed to be hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and the altar of the Lord in Joshua chapter 9, becoming the Nethinim you can read of in Ezra and Nehemiah, which is how they took over the priesthood, becoming the Pharisees Christ says the blood of righteous Abel will fall upon in Matthew chapter 23 verse 35, with the scribes being the Kenites also in large part, as you can see in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 55, the generation of vipers who carry out the negative part of God's plan via education, economics, politics, and religion, the four hidden dynasties, and this is what it is to enumerate the stones worn smooth that come from the false rock who will appear in Jerusalem at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial. The false capstone of the false pyramid, which is Satan's family tree, which again, the Kenites are the natural branches of. There are four hidden dynasties, four being the number of Earth, having been globalized from 1830 to 1948, when this final generation began, which is the generation of the fig tree, in 1948, when Kenite-occupied Israel came into being. And remember, it was fig leaves Adam and Eve covered themselves with after committing the sin in the garden that caused Eve to be impregnated by Satan with Cain, the serpent seed who was used to bring about Christ's crucifixion, bringing to pass the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. So going back to 1830, when the hidden dynasty of education was globalized, with not only the advent of the modern state-run schooling systems right around that time, but also the technology began to be developed, making it possible to brainwash large groups of people at one time with the electronic media. The so-called founding fathers of electromagnetism, Joseph Henry and Michael Faraday, met together in 1830, which is also when Joseph Henry used electric current to cause a bell to ring from 1,000 feet, later extending it to a mile, basically paving the way for the telegraph, and from the telegraph came eventually the television, whereby most of the brainwashing of the 20th century stemmed from, up until the 21st century when the internet came into being, which is how the masses are still brainwashed via all four hidden dynasties. 1830 also being when the rapture theory came into being that deceives people into expecting Christ to return at any moment, when in all reality Christ won't return at all until after Satan appears as the Antichrist at 666. In 1913, economics was the next of the four hidden dynasties to be globalized, with the creation of the Federal Reserve System solidified by Bretton Woods at the end of World War II, which is when the United Nations came into being in 1945, the Great Horn of the He-Goat, which is symbolic of the shadow government of the Kenites. Not the notable horn of Daniel chapter 8 verse 5, which is symbolic of Germany as it was used by the Kenites in the World Wars, which is what the last verse of Isaiah chapter 9 has reference to as far as the 20th century is concerned, Germany being Judah, but once World War II ended, the notable horn was replaced with the United Nations, the Great Horn of the He-Goat, which again is symbolic of the shadow government of the Sons of Cain, which is split into two warring factions called the unipolar globalists as opposed to the multipolar globalists, which is what nation shall rise against nation means in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. The goat fig nation, not in any specific geographic location, but again the shadow government of the Kenites rising up against itself, which is what causes the breaking of the great horn of the He-Goat, which is the United Nations, after which the He-Goat of Daniel 8 becomes the leopard of Daniel chapter 7. The Egyptians against against the Egyptians, as you can see in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 2, being the same thing as nation shall rise against nation. Again, the Kenites used the pyramid symbolism in Egypt as symbolic of bondage. After the great horn of the he-goat gets broken, so to speak, the one-world political system you can read of in Revelation chapter 13 comes into being, which, as you can see in Ezekiel chapters 29 through 32, is symbolized by Egypt also. The breaking of the great horn of the he-goat being the same thing as the destruction of the one who sends a raiser of taxes in Daniel chapter 11 verse 20, as you can see in the Daniel 11 hypothesis on biblicalresearchlabs.com. Kingdom against kingdom being the deadly wound that happens just before Satan appears as the false Christ, as you can also see in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, first nation shall rise against nation, breaking the great horn of the he-goat, and then kingdom against kingdom is the deadly wound, and then city against city, as you can see in Isaiah chapter 19 verse 2, happens at 666, when most Christians who will have become Egyptians, so to speak, as the lion of Daniel chapter 7, 2.5 months beforehand, get destroyed from being citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem when they worship Satan instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means, becoming grafted into Satan's family tree at that time, along with the Kenites, who are the natural branches thereof. And as you can see in Revelation chapter 11 verse 8, Jerusalem is at that time during 666 spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, which was caused by the Kenites who carry out the negative part of God's plan, the evil figs as they're called in Jeremiah chapter 24, along with all who are part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when the seventh angel sounds, which happens 3.5 days after Satan kills the two witnesses who are most likely Moses and Elijah. That's when the true Christ returns and all are changed into spiritual bodies, and the Kenites who failed to repent before the return of the true Christ will have their dominion taken away at that time, along with those still part of the lion and the bear, Daniel's fourth beast having been destroyed, which is made up of Satan's fallen angel locust army, as well as his role of Antichrist, with Satan himself being cast into the bottomless pit until the 1,000 years are finished, when he gets cast into the lake of fire along with whoever chooses to follow him again at that time. Everyone else goes into the third earth and heaven age as citizens of the new, which means the eternal Jerusalem, the holy city that will come down from God out of heaven at that time, when all who are part of God's family tree through Christ Jesus go into the eternity. As you can see in Amos chapter 1 and the first verse of Amos chapter 2, Edom, Ammon, and Moab are listed together once again, as seen many other times throughout our Father's Word. And as you can see in Amos chapter 1 verse 13, the children of Ammon have ripped up the women with child of Gilead that they might enlarge their border. And in 1920, the Soviet Republic began to allow abortion on demand, which would later become one of the main agendas of the Democratic Party of the United States, which was infiltrated by the Stalinists in 1933. And in Amos chapter 2 verse 1, we see that Moab burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime, Tsar Nicholas II and his family having been murdered by Bolshevik revolutionaries. And as you can see from the official newspaper of the Communist Party from November of 1918, Joseph Stalin wrote that all practical work in connection with the organization of the uprising was done under the immediate direction of Comrade Trotsky, and when 1980 rolled around, the neocons came into power in the United States. And this is how the Republican Party became infiltrated by the Trotskyites, and again, the Democratic Party was infiltrated by the Stalinists in 1933. And behind all this are the Kenites on the unipolar end of the globalist spectrum, symbolized by Ammon and Moab. And again, we see Edom, Ammon, and Moab listed together all throughout God's Word. And nation rising against nation has to do with the two warring factions of Kenites who, through Edom, which means red, are pushing for a multipolar world order, as it's called, or a unipolar world order through the left-right paradigm worldwide, which is symbolized by Ammon and Moab. The Bolshevik Revolution is predicted in Daniel 11 also, according to the Daniel 11 hypothesis on biblicalresearchlabs.com. Beginning with verse 5, the king of the south South there is the first King of the South written of in Daniel 11, which is the British Commonwealth, and the time frame is the First World War, Ephraim being the British Commonwealth, but within Ephraim is the Scepter of Judah, because of the House of Windsor, which was called originally the House of Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha, a German dynasty descended from the House of David, and cousin to the King of England at the time was the Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II, so he was the King of Edom, even though he was of Judah, with Tsarist Russia being the first king of the north, and in the end of years they shall join themselves together, as you can see in Daniel chapter 11 verse 6, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times, the agreement being the Treaty of London, with the king's daughter being the Scepter of Judah. So she, the Scepter of Judah, shall not retain the power of the arm in Russia, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, Tsar Nicholas II, but she, the Scepter of Judah in Russia, because Nicholas was the cousin of the King of England, shall be given up, and they that brought her, the Romanov dynasty, and he that begat her, in other words, the Soviets, would throw God out of Russia, so to speak, creating an atheistic dictatorship, and he that strengthened her is Christ, and the Romanovs were a Christian dynasty of the king line of Judah. But again, as it's written in Amos chapter 2 verse 1, Moab burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. Ammon and Moab being symbolic of the two wings of the communist system, Stalinism and Trotskyism, which came into being with the Bolshevik Revolution. But out of a branch of her root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. To understand these verses, you have to be familiar with how the Bolshevik Revolution was orchestrated, and more importantly, where it was orchestrated from, which was Wall Street, which is geographically located in the United States, which is Manasseh, and this explains why one out of a branch of her roots is used to describe the Bolshevik Revolution, because this same terminology is used of Joseph, the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, in Genesis chapter 49 verses 22 through 26. So even though it was obviously the Kenites behind it, the United States, as usual, gets the blame, and this method of using the United States to formulate one worldism increased significantly with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which is when the second trumpet of Revelation chapter 8 began to sound, and it continues to sound to this very day, Egypt being always symbolic of bondage. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land, signifying the end of the First World War. And then in verses 10 through 12 are the second king of the south, which was Germany in the Second World War, with the outcome thereof being the United Nations, which is the great horn of the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8, in my opinion, when the third trumpet of Revelation chapter 8 began to sound, lining up with the hidden dynasty of politics. And then in 1948, the fourth trumpet began to sound when Kenite-occupied Israel came into being, beginning this final generation, with 1969 being when the grace period of the fifth trumpet began. And now, in the 21st century, within the hidden dynasty of politics, nation continues to rise against nation using their puppet governments, puppet politicians, and puppet citizens. And don't forget the electronic media, where most of the warring takes place between the two factions of Kenites, whose shadow government makes up the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8. And again, the great horn thereof is, in my opinion, the United Nations. And once that great horn gets broken, so to speak, which is the same thing as the destruction of the one who sends a raiser of taxes in Daniel 11:20, the so-called New World Order will emerge at the woe of the fifth trumpet, when Satan and his angels get cast to earth, Daniel's fourth beast being exclusively supernatural, including those 10 fallen angel kings, and along with the lion and the bear, who symbolize the Christian and non-Christian nations, and the four-headed leopard that symbolizes the Kenites and their four hidden dynasties, which is what the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8 will become at the woe of the fifth trumpet. They'll all rise up together at the same time in the one world political system of Revelation 13, which then receives a deadly wound, after which Satan will appear as the Antichrist at 666, as you can see in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and that's when it becomes a one-world religious system, and most Christians die spiritually when they worship Satan instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means. The true Christ won't return until the woe of the seventh trumpet, which is when Satan's one-world system will be destroyed, and the four hidden dynasties will at that time be put out of business, with communism ceasing to be as the Ezekiel 38 Confederacy are taken out of commission also in the Battle of the Valley of Hamengog, which transpires at the same time as the Battle of Armageddon in a separate geographic location, when all flesh is destroyed and all are changed into spiritual bodies when the true Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As you can see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, Daniel beheld another beast, the first being the lion of verse 4, which is symbolic of the Christian nations, as opposed to the bear in verse 5, which is symbolic of the non-Christian nations, the communistic especially, and as much as the bear is the Ezekiel 38 Confederacy, headed by Gog, which is the chief prince, chief being Rosh in the Hebrew, of Meshach and Tubal, which is Moscow and Tobolsk, according to Bullinger in his book Commentary on Revelation. Going back to way before Daniel 7, which doesn't even begin to happen until the woe of the fifth trumpet, we saw in the 1800s, after 1830, the Communist Manifesto come into being, with Karl Marx being a student of Hegel who died in 1831, and it was also during the 1800s in the United States the left-right paradigm of today came into the picture. The Hegelian dialectic being basically problem, reaction, solution, and we're now at the point where the so-called left-right paradigm are the same thing, having been taken over by the Stalinists and the Trotskyites, symbolized by Ammon and Moab, which you see listed with Edom throughout the Word of God, even toward the end of Daniel chapter 11 in verse 41. The first king of the north you can read of in Daniel chapter 11 being Tsarist Russia, and as you can see in the Daniel 11 hypothesis on biblicalresearchlabs.com, verses 6 through 8 have to do with the Bolshevik Revolution orchestrated by the Kenites from Wall Street when the bones of the King of Edom, who was Tsar Nicholas II, were burned into lime by Moab, as you can see in Amos chapter 2, verse 1, bringing about the Soviet Union, which was the second king of the North up until the end of the Cold War when the Soviet Union became the Russian Federation, the third king of the North, and that's when what's known as the unipolar era began. Ammon and Moab being the unipolar globalists, with Edom, which means red, being the multipolar, and because it's the Kenites versus the Kenites in a power struggle within their own shadow government, which is symbolized by the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8, this is nation rising against nation, which is what will break the great horn of the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8, verse 8, after which the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7 emerge at the woe of the fifth trumpet. The bear being the fourth king of the north, which is the Ezekiel 38 Confederacy. So going back to the world wars and the Daniel 11 hypothesis and the first two kings of the south, which were first Ephraim, which is the British Commonwealth, followed by Germany, which is Judah, and at the end of World War II, the he-goat, which is the shadow government of the Kenites, brought about the great horn of Daniel chapter 8, verse 8, which is the United Nations. 1945 also being when Manasseh, which is the United States, became the third king of the south, which you can read of, as well as the third king of the north, which is the Russian Federation in Daniel chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. And once the great horn is broken, the new world order comes into being, which is the one world political system, including the fourth king of the south, which is the lion of Daniel chapter 7, as well as Revelation 13, made up of Ephraim, Judah, and Manasseh, the Christian nations. Kingdom against kingdom is the deadly wound to the one world political system, and that's when Ephraim, Judah, and Manasseh will be plucked up by the roots, so to speak, as you can see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, because that's when they'll cease to be Christian nations when they worship Satan instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means. They're the three horns because in Daniel chapter 8, we see Ephraim and Manasseh as the horns on the ram, the British Commonwealth, as well as the United States, with Judah as the notable horn on the he-goat, not the great horn, that's the UN, which didn't come into being until after the World Wars. This is the notable horn, which was Germany, which was first used in World War I to bring about the League of Nations, and then again in World War II to bring about the United Nations, which is the great horn of the he-goat, which is symbolic of the shadow government of the sons of Cain. We also see in Daniel chapter 7 verse 5 three ribs in the mouth of the bear, and that doesn't happen until 666 when Satan appears as the Antichrist, because those three ribs are symbolic of Ephraim, Judah, and Manasseh also defeated both politically as the three ribs in the mouth of the bear as well as spiritually as the three horns that are plucked up by the roots when most Christians worship the false Christ when he appears in Jerusalem in the middle of the 5 month long hour of temptation, and then half an hour later, so to speak, or 2.5 months at the seventh trumpet, the true Christ returns, destroying Daniel's fourth beast, which is exclusively supernatural, made up of Satan's role of Antichrist, as well as his fallen angel locust army, including those 10 fallen angel kings, when both the Battle of Armageddon as well as the Battle of Hamagog transpire when all are changed into spiritual bodies. As you can see in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41, Edom, which means red, and Moab, and the chief, which is Rosh in the Hebrew, of the children of Ammon shall escape out of his, meaning Jacob's hand, because remember when Jacob and Esau were born, Jacob's hand took hold on Esau's heel, as you can see in Genesis chapter 25 verse 26. So escaping out of Jacob's hand at the woe of the seventh trumpet is when the dominion is taken away from the bear, and as you can see in Genesis chapter 27 verse 40, when thou shalt have the dominion, meaning when Esau shall have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke, the yoke of Jacob, from off thy neck. Thou shalt escape out of his hand, in other words, when the dominion is taken away from the bear as well as the lion and the leopard at the seventh trumpet. So that's really a prophecy against Esau, and as much as all flesh being destroyed at that time coincides with the destruction of the atheistic communism brought about by the Kenites through Edom, which means red, via the hidden dynasty of politics. As it's written in the last verse of Revelation chapter 13, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's 666, and it's at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial that Satan will appear as the false Christ, that man of sin called also the son of perdition, because as we know from Ezekiel chapter 28, Satan is the only one sentenced to perish as an individual. The fallen angels were sentenced to perish as a group. As we know from Revelation chapter 9 verse 11, Satan is king over the fallen angel locust army, and notice he's called there Abaddon in the Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, which both mean the destroyer, but notice the word translated perdition as well as Apollyon both come from the same Greek word, which is number 622 in the Greek dictionary of the Strong's Concordance, which means to destroy fully, in other words, to perish, Satan being the beast that will ascend out of the bottomless pit after the 1,000 years are finished and go into perdition, as you can see in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, first in verse 8 and then again in verse 11. That's when he'll be the eighth king, with the seventh king in the previous verse being his role of Antichrist, and again, it's his 666, which is the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, Satan appears in Jerusalem as the Antichrist, and to count the number of the beast, we have to understand what this word count means in the Greek, which is to enumerate stones worn smooth, whereby you identify who the Antichrist is. The false rock, Satan being called the King of Tyrus, which means rock, in Ezekiel chapter 28, which is where you can read of his death sentence he received for his rebellion in the first world age. region, the stones weren't smooth that came from the false rock are the Kenites, the sons of Cain, who through the four hidden dynasties of education, economics, politics, and religion plant the seed of the mark of the beast that will come to fruition at 666 when the false rock appears in Jerusalem. The four hidden dynasties, which are the four horns of Zechariah chapter 1, having been globalized in 1830, 1913, 1945, and 1948, in my opinion, lining up with the first four trumpets written of in Revelation chapter 8, and then in 1969, the grace period of the fifth trumpet began, and at the woe of the fifth trumpet, when that grace period ends, the one world political system written of in Revelation 13 will emerge, the leopard of Daniel chapter 7 coming into being at that time, symbolic of the Kenites and those four hidden dynasties, providing the infrastructure of the so-called New World Order. So the stones worn smooth are the Kenites, and here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, which means to enumerate those stones worn smooth in order to identify the man whose number is 666, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who fathered Cain, who then fathered the Kenites. Those stones worn smooth, and don't let it confuse you that it says the number of a man, because Satan is also called a man in Isaiah chapter 14 in the 16th verse, where as you can see, those that see him in the bottomless pit during the 1,000 years shall narrowly look upon him and consider him, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? And then going back to verse 4 of Isaiah 14, we see there the king of Babylon, which in the futurist sense is Satan's role of Antichrist. So returning to Revelation chapter 17 and beginning with the 9th verse, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, meaning the seven continents of the planet earth, with the woman being Babylon, symbolic of the Christians deceived into worshiping Satan instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means at 666. And there are seven kings, the time frame here being after the one world system had come into being, having seven heads, which are seven literal mountains, that is to say the seven continents of the planet earth. And there are seven kings, and what follows takes place after the deadly wound to the one world political system, to one of the seven continents, when it ceased to be part of the one world system, which would then cause the entire system to collapse, meaning it would then be wounded to death. And it would only take one country within a continent to wound it to death, so to speak. So then the five that are fallen at that time are the four hidden dynasties in the one world system itself, with the one that is being the dragon, which is Satan, who gave the one world political system his power and his seat, that's Thronos in the Greek, and great authority. The fifth vial written of in Revelation 16 being poured out upon the seat of the beast, that is to say the first beast of Revelation 13, which is the one world political system. So again, five are fallen, the four hidden dynasties in the one world political system itself, and one is the dragon, which is Satan, having yet to appear as the Antichrist, because as you can see in Revelation chapter 17 verse 10, the other, meaning the seventh king, is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space for 2.5 months or 70 evenings, which is what the 70 years in captivity to the Babylon of old were a type of. So there's no Babylon of the end times until 666, with Satan's role of Antichrist being the king of Babylon of the end times, and once he appears, most Christians will die spiritually, becoming the whore of Babylon, losing their virginity spiritually speaking, when the seed of the mark of the beast planted by the four hidden dynasties comes to fruition in their forehead. But many will repent during that last half hour, the 5 month long hour of temptation, because of what the Holy Spirit will say through those who get delivered up during that time, then being able to take part in the first resurrection at the seventh trumpet when the true Christ returns and destroys Satan's role of Antichrist as well as his one world system. This being also when Satan's fallen angels are blotted out of existence and Satan himself is cast into the bottomless pit until after the 1,000 years are finished, after which he'll ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, along with whoever chooses to follow him again at that time. Those who absorb Christ's teachings of discipline through the millennial priesthood, having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, in other words, will stand against Satan at that time, then being able to take part in the second resurrection, whereby they can go into the eternity, which is the third world age. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, which means red, which geopolitically has to do with that red nation atheistic communism was and is brought about through Esau having been Jacob's twin brother, and from Jacob would later come the Lord Jesus Christ on his mother's side, and then the Christian nations of the world, and from Esau, called also Edom, would come the communistic. The two twin brothers fought together in their mother's womb, even as you can see in Genesis chapter 25, and at this time, the Russian Federation is the current king of the North, as you can see explained in the Daniel 11 hypothesis on biblicalresearchlabs.com, while the United States is the current king of the South. But on a deeper level, atheistic communism is really man worshiping his own flesh, so then ultimately Esau represents the flesh, which gets destroyed at the seventh trumpet when the true Christ returns, which is also in the Ezekiel 38 Confederacy gets taken out of commission in the Battle of the Valley of Hamengog. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen, which means the nations. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, which means the nations. Thou art greatly despised. And again, at this time, the Russian Federation is the current king of the North, written of in Daniel chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? The rock here being the false rock, which is Satan, who through his offspring, the Kenites, who are those stones worn smooth, brought about atheistic communism to begin with. And notice how similar this verse is to Numbers chapter 24, verse 21, where as you can see, he looked on the Kenites, meaning the sons of Cain, and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock, meaning the false rock the stones worn smoother from, the Kenites being the natural branches of Satan's family tree. And shortly after 1913, when the hidden dynasty of economics was globalized, the First World War occurred, and the Soviet Union was then brought into being, the second king of the North, the first being Tsarist Russia, and then in 1945, the United Nations was brought into being after the Second World War, 1945 being when the hidden dynasty of politics was globalized, and now the king of the North is the Russian Federation, ever since the fall of the Berlin Wall in the Soviet Union, the Russian Federation being controlled by the Kenites on the multipolar end of the globalist spectrum, as opposed to the unipolarist Kenites, who for the most part control the left-right paradigm symbolized by Ammon and Moab, which is basically Stalinism and Trotskyism. So then the Kenites, through Edom, which means red, as in atheistic communism, are in complete control of the hidden dynasty of politics, which is a thing of the flesh, which Esau is symbolic of. Remember how Esau even sold his birthright just to feed his flesh body that red pottage, which is how he got the name Edom, as you can see in Genesis chapter 25, verse 30. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Ultimately, this is the Ezekiel 38 confederacy being brought to the border through, in my opinion, Alaska in the Battle of the Valley of Hamengog, which happens at the woe of the seventh trumpet when the true Christ returns, 5 months after the woe of the fifth trumpet when the one world political system comes into being, with the Ezekiel 38 confederacy becoming the bear of Daniel chapter 7 at that time, the fourth king of the North. And then 2.5 months later, just after the deadly wound to the one world political system, Satan will appear as the Antichrist Christ at the woe of the sixth trumpet, the false rock as opposed to the true rock who won't return until 2.5 months later at the woe of the seventh trumpet. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau when the day of the Lord begins and all flesh is destroyed, which is not only when the battle of Hamagog transpires, but also the battle of Armageddon, two separate battles that both happen on the day the true Christ returns at the seventh trumpet, when the thousand-year-long day of the Lord begins, and thy mighty men, O Teman, which means the south, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. When all flesh gets destroyed and those giant hailstones rain down from God out of heaven, as you can see in both Ezekiel 38 as well as Revelation chapter 16. In other words, at the battle of the valley of Hamagog as well as the battle of Armageddon. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever, because the flesh Esau symbolizes will be destroyed forever at the seventh trumpet. But at the same time, the Ezekiel 38 confederacy will become the bear when the 5-month-long hour of temptation begins, which is also when the lion of Daniel chapter 7 comes into being, which is symbolic of the Christian nations up until 666, when most Christians will be killed spiritually when they worship Satan instead of Christ, which is what Antichrist means. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. When Satan appears as the Antichrist at 666 in Jerusalem, and Ephraim, Judah, and Manasseh, which make up the lion of Daniel chapter 7, get plucked up by the roots, they'll also be in the mouth of the bear at that time, symbolized by the three ribs in Daniel chapter 7 verse 5, when they're killed spiritually and become non-Christian nations also. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, meaning in the day most Christians became grafted into Satan's family tree, in other words, becoming tares by adoption, at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity, ultimately at 666, but this also looks back to 1945 when the Soviets entered into Germany, which is Judah geopolitically, and the second king of the south in Daniel chapter 11. Again, 1945 was when the hidden dynasty of politics was globalized, and also when the United Nations came into being, which is in my opinion the great horn of the he-goat of Daniel chapter 8 verse 8 that must first be broken before the one world political system of Revelation 13 can come into being. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. On one level, looking back at the Berlin Wall, and it was the fall thereof which corresponded with the fall of the Soviet Union that brought about the third king of the north, which is the Russian Federation, but ultimately delivering up those of his that did remain means during 666, when those that remain of Christianity, which will only be those of the church in Philadelphia initially, will be delivered up to death, which is one of Satan's names, which is when the Holy Spirit will speak through them, causing many to repent, whereby they can be grafted back into God's family tree. Judah being the type, because it was Judah returning to Jerusalem after the captivity to the Babylon of old, symbolized by the good figs, looking forward to those who will be part of God's family tree when the true Christ returns at harvest time, which is the seventh trumpet, Christ Jesus being the Lion of the tribe of Judah. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, all the nations, that is to say, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. When all flesh is destroyed at the seventh trumpet, which is when God's wrath gets poured out on those still part of Satan's family tree, at that time the Kenites, who are the natural branches thereof, as well as those grafted in, the evil figs, in other words, and if they refuse to receive the correction that will be Christ's teachings of discipline through the millennial priesthood and follow Satan again after the 1,000 years are finished, they'll be blotted out of existence in the lake of fire, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, all flesh having been destroyed at the seventh trumpet. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph of a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. With all flesh having been done away with, and all who are part of God's family tree at the seventh trumpet, being the natural branches, meaning those of the 12 tribes according to the flesh, if they're in Christ Jesus at that time, as well as those grafted in, because all were Israel, so to speak, in the first world age, divided into 12 groups symbolized by 12 stars, as you can see in Revelation chapter 12 verse 1, and all must take part in either the first or the second resurrection in order to become Israel again, being then able to go into the third world age. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, which means the migratory ones, which is the curse of Cain, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel, which means the whole of the 12 tribes, as you can see pointed out in the Companion Bible, but again, those who are Israel are those who will either take part in the first or the second resurrection. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And during the 1,000 years, the Zadok will be separated from the rest of the millennial priesthood, as we know from Ezekiel chapter 44, and saviors, messengers sent by the Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, being better translated, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, meaning those who were in the flesh up until the seventh angel sounded, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, on up into the eternity, which is the third world age.